Our spotlight group tonight, our spotlight artists tonight, who are live in studio as opposed to on vinyl, they are Bill Garrett and Sue Lothrop. Welcome to Sherbrooke, welcome to Lennoxville, welcome to CJMQ.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
Well,
once again.
I hope the trip wasn't too long from Montreal, was it?
Not too bad.
We know the road well.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. And of course, the weather has been rather conducive to driving, even though some of the roads may not be conducive to driving, but the weather hasn't been bad at all.
It was great.
I know we're going to have a hard time seeing each other through all these microphone wires.
I can see you there.
Okay. I'm not really hard to miss, I tell you. Okay, so Bill and Sue will be performing at the Church Street Cafe this evening, beginning at about 8 o'clock, I guess.
That's right, yeah.
And the doors open at 7. Yeah. I just want to remind our listeners that we do have a pass for two people for tonight's show. So the phone number is 822-1838, and if we can give those away, we'll be very pleased. Sue and Bill are based out of Montreal.
That's right.
Okay. But your roots actually stretch from the townships all the way through to T.O.
They do. My roots are in the Eastern Townships, Sherbrooke. I grew up here.
And you were born and bred?
Absolutely. Born in Sherbrooke and spent the first 18 years of my life here until I went to Bishop's University for 1 year and then on the road doing music after that.
I was reading in the bio that, I mean, you did a lot of work in and around this area to begin with in terms of music and performing and whatnot. What led you to Montreal?
Well, you have to go to the big city.
Okay. Yeah. I guess everybody, if you want to make it big, you got to get to the big city, right?
Well, the city was where it was happening, and Montreal was a big pull for me as a young person. And Bill, coming from another rural area, was pulled to Montreal, and we actually met 40-odd years ago.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that later because it was something interesting I saw in the bio. Tell me, when you went to Montreal, did you have to play guitar or sing in on the streets or in the metro stations as some people do?
Didn't do that
because a lot of people do that, and I guess it's quite a heavy road to hoe. I guess
I think some people like it too. Yeah. Some people are very suited to playing outside. And no, didn't do that. Went straight actually to a coffee house called the Yellow Door Coffee House on Aylmer Street in Montreal.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you ever get to places like Studio 6 or...
Yes.
Was it Paul and Linda or...
Chuck.
Chuck. Okay, yeah. Okay, you have a little bit of my history there. Okay. And now, Bill, you've had a world of experience in broadcasting, producing, as well as songwriting, composition. You're indeed no stranger to either the broadcast booth nor studio work.
No, that's true. I got started in broadcasting in Toronto. I'd moved to Toronto in the early 70s. And
From somewhere in Ontario?
From Montreal.
From Montreal,
I grew up in Western Quebec.
Okay.
I was living in Montreal. That's actually when I first met Sue, and then we both went different directions. We weren't singing together back then. And moved to Toronto and was playing music on the road a whole lot, actually. And had an opportunity to do some work at the CBC with Sylvia Tyson.
Oh, yes. Ian and Sylvia.
Yeah, and there was a folk show there, and they asked me to be a part of that, and that turned into a career as a radio producer.
For the CBC in Toronto.
For the CBC. And then later, my last 5 years at the CBC was in Montreal, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, this sounds like a which came first, the chicken or the egg, but I mean, so music... pulled you into the radio broadcasting, and then here you were doing work in radio, and then you somehow ended back up into the music field.
Yeah, I guess it happens with a few people. I had been at the CBC for a long time, and I had moved gradually away from production, and I was actually sort of in management towards the end. And I sort of woke up one day and thought to myself, this isn't really what I want to be doing. Music took me here, and I had an opportunity to start this record label called Borealis with some old friends, and that's actually what took me out of the CBC.
Okay, and now being a record producer, having your own record label, certainly must have given you a boost. Because if I remember things the way they worked, it was very tough getting to an A&R man to even have your records listened to. So how did that work out?
Oh, well, I was a producer first, and I still am. I produce independent projects that are not necessarily on our label.
Okay.
The way we work it really simply at our label, there are two of us that listen to the music, and we both have to agree 100% on an artist, and we only, it's a small label, it's an independent label, so we only have so much mm-hmm. budget to mm-hmm. release, you know, so many records a year. Mm-hmm. So it's not that difficult, you know.
Okay.
Listen to a lot of music.
Now, I read in your bios that you came together, as you mentioned before, you had met in Montreal, you went your separate ways, and all of a sudden, I read something about an album, Seems to Me.
Yeah.
And that's when you collaborated on this album.
That's right.
Is that where the transition occurred?
It did, really, pretty much. We had been a bit in contact, and Bill had recorded this album called Seems to Me. And he thought that it would be a good idea if I did some backup vocals on the record. So I said, okay. Although I had been sort of semi-retired. I had my daughter, and I was doing some music, but not a lot. And Bill pulled me into the studio, and I did the backup vocals. And then he said, well, that sounded good. Let's go. And I
typical line.
These producers, you know. And I said, no, I think I'm retired now. And he wouldn't hear of it. So the rest is history. We
So from solo to dynamic duo is basically what happened.
I guess. That,
yeah, in my case, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you've both worked with other artists and performing artists. Yeah. What was it you saw or heard in Sue or Sue in Bill that caused you to think, collaboration? What was it that clicked there? The voice, the sense, the
We had both come from similar backgrounds musically. We both had a love for similar kinds of music, and I think that we also knew each other. We had known each other for years, and so we liked each other as people. So, you know, it was sort of a natural progression, and then when we sang together, our voices sounded...
wow.
They blended. There was something nice, you know. It was...
There was there on there that level click. that the the duo began, I guess.
Yeah,
eh?
I guess that's what we were looking for.
Okay.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And you know, it's more fun playing music with another person to a large degree. You know, I mean, we have it's fun mm-hmm. playing. And for me, Sue is a really strong vocalist, and for me, it gave me a chance to do more harmonies as opposed to always singing the lead as a solo. Mm-hmm. And it also gave me a chance to play a little more lead guitar than I had been, because mm-hmm. when I was playing solo, I had to concentrate keeping the rhythm, you know.
Okay, yeah. Now, what was it like, the collaboration? What musical challenges did you face as you went from solo artists to collaborators? Were there any musical challenges? Or did it just happen so naturally?
I don't think the challenges were musical.
We're looking at each other.
Yeah. No, I wanna, no. I mean, the challenge musically is when there's two of you, you have to practice lots, because you have to blend, and, mm-hmm. and to get that blend, it doesn't just happen. You know, it's hard work.
Timing is one thing, I suppose. When you can skip a beat when you're alone.
That's right.
That's it.
But you can't skip a beat when you got somebody skipping with you. Right?
That's it. You can slow down and speed up by yourself,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Was that difficult? How long did that take in terms of the gel getting together?
Not too long. Eh?
I don't remember how long it took, but certainly not too long, and not long enough that, you know, it was a struggle. It just evolved. And then we started to write songs together.
Okay, brings up my next question. How do you deal with, excuse me for saying this, each other's ego? Because as solo artists, you have your own particular persona. Now you're working together. How do you deal with each other's persona?
Carefully.
Carefully? Okay.
It's never really been a really big problem. Not on the writing or anything like that, you know? I mean, I think, you know, sometimes when we're practicing, Sue will tell me, I think you're a little flat on that note, or don't, you know, don't scoop that note, and you know, I'll go, oh, okay, fine, you know, but
shuffle off,
but seriously, it's not a big issue, and I think part of the reason it's not a big issue is because we've both been playing music a long time, we've both played music with lots of other people in those intervening years, and you learn how to work with people.
Yeah. You know? Okay, I suppose. Sue, had you been playing with a lot of other artists musically? Yep,
throughout my career. In the beginning, I worked with a few different groups. I worked in a duo with a man named Alan Fraser, who was from Sherbrooke. We went through Bishop's University together, mm-hmm. went off on the road, sang for 4 years together. And then I joined a larger group, and then I joined, then there were a couple of other groups in there. And also mixed in at that time, I had moved to the Maritimes. I lived in Halifax, and I worked as a solo artist for a while. So it was a mix.
And probably picked up a different sense of culture and a different sense of musical background in the Maritimes.
Well, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Now, you have a family, or you have a daughter.
Yes.
How did you balance parenthood with everything that you were doing at the time with your family and careers?
Well, I sort of pretty much stopped playing music. I was working with one group. I was doing backup vocals with one group. But I really, pretty much stopped. So that's why I said, when Bill said to me, well, let's do this. We made a CD, so let's keep going. I really felt that I had retired. Okay. And I don't know. I mean, it was strong in me, to keep going. But I think that I sort of was lacking in confidence at that time, because I had sort of been off for quite a few years.
I guess as an artist, you tend to want to be in front of that audience, eh? It's a necessary draw.
I don't know. It was in me, and it always will be. I mean, this is what I do. This is what Bill does. I guess if it's if you caught the bug, then it's hard to go away from it. So I was very happy to get back into it. It was just hard to start up again, but it didn't take that long, and it was wonderful. So my daughter has grown up. She's 24, and now she sings with us sometimes.
Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's great.
That's great.
We were hoping to bring her for this concert tonight, but we're unable. She was otherwise booked, so next time, hopefully, we'll bring her.
Well, wouldn't that be nice, eh? That would be really nice. And what's your daughter's name?
Corina.
Corina. Oh, yes. Love it. That reminds me of a nice oldie song.
That's the song she was named after.
I used to hear Corina. We'll have to try to get that on.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. That'd be great.
I'll try to find that one, Corina. Tell us about your recent CD.
Well, the recent CD is...
not recent.
It's not even... No, not anymore. It's 4.5 years old.
Okay.
I'm not really that much to say other than it's a collection of songs that we were enjoying singing and added with some of the songs that we wrote as well. We're actually now thinking about trying to get another one going sometime over the winter.
How difficult is it to get the material together, thinking of messages and or purposes or aims, et cetera, and so on? I mean, does writer's block come into play here?
It sure does.
Yeah, it does, eh?
Writer's block comes in, yeah. And sometimes we're both also busy doing other things. Sue does... Does music therapy and animation for seniors on a regular basis, and I've got the record label on a regular basis and other production work.
Yeah, so I like to talk about that a bit more. I read that and I thought, hey, I'd love to ask about that. And I'm trying to find it here without my glasses.
Well, I'll jump in and tell you that in 1992, I decided that I would go back to school. So I did. In Montreal, I went to college and studied in the field of gerontology for 2 years.
Okay.
And then I worked as an activities coordinator for a year or so, and then decided that I really what I wanted to do was music. And so I learned a new repertoire. I went to work working in seniors' residences, long-term care facilities, rehab centers.
Therapeutic music.
Yeah, yeah. So I learned a repertoire, of the 20s, 30s, 40s, a repertoire that would be familiar to the people that I was going to be working with. Yeah. And I do a lot of work with people who have dementia, Alzheimer's.
Quite an interesting calling.
Music seems to permeate.
It quite rewarding, through. I would imagine.
It is rewarding. Yeah. It is. It's. I find it hard work, but rewarding. I've been doing it now for 11 years. So.
Oh, okay. And in all this, you guys perform together on occasion?
Yeah, we do. We've been off a little bit this year, but I think we're getting back on track again, and we'll probably be performing quite a bit more.
How many performances do you foresee?
Who knows?
As many as possible.
Right now we're hopefully going to start working on bookings for next spring and next fall, because that's how far in advance.
And you have a website.
We do. It's Willie Mac Productions.
Willie Mac Productions, yeah.
And the Borealis website is actually very up to date.
Okay. And so if anybody's interested in booking you after listening to you, because we are on the web and all over the world, so who knows? Right. You might get a contract in England or something.
We'll go.
Driving?
No.
Okay, let's talk about your CD. We're going to play a couple of cuts from the CD called Red Shoes. Tell us about the first one. We've chosen a couple of cuts. Leaving Louisiana.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, it's a song that Sue had been doing it earlier, and a song that I always liked, and it's a song that sort of moves along. It's almost nonsensical, the song. It's not a heavy song or anything like that. It's just a lot of fun to do. And it's a Rodney Crowell song.
It's a fun song.
Meaningful or
not,
just
not heavy meaning? No. Just lots of fun.
Lots of fun. Yeah. Okay, this is Bill and Sue on the Super Q, Leaving Louisiana.
Traveling man left her mama crying with her head in her hands, such a sad pitch, so broken hearted. Say, mama, got to go, got to get out of here, I gotta get out of town, I'm tired of hanging around, I gotta roll on between the ditches. It's just an ordinary story about the way things go, around and around, nobody knows, but the highway goes on forever. That old highway goes on. Lord, she never would have done it if she hadn't got drunk, if she hadn't started running with the traveling man, if she hadn't started taking those crazy chances. Say, daughter, let me tell you about the traveling kind. Everywhere it's going, such a very short time. It'll be long gone before you know it. Long gone before you know it. She said, never ever known it when it felt so good. Never ever knew it when I knew I could. Never ever done it when it looked so right. Leaving Louisiana in the broad daylight. Well, down in the swampland, anything goes. Alligator bait and the bars don't close. It's a real thing down in Louisiana. See a Cajun when he really got mad, when he really got trouble, like a daughter gone bad. It gets real hot down in Louisiana. Now the stranger better move it or he's gonna get killed. He's gonna have to get it or a shotgun will. It ain't no time for lengthy speeches. There ain't no time for lengthy speeches.
Well, we're in Super Q 88.9, CJM Super Q, that is, with the Super Dave. Whoops, let's just turn that down a wee bit. we are actually talking to Bill and Sue, Bill Garrett and Sue Lothrop, who are going to be performing at the Church Street Cafe tonight at 8 o'clock, and we're here for another few minutes. We're going to play another song from their album, Red Shoes. Actually, we're going to play the title song, Red Shoes. And if you want to see them, go to the Church Street Cafe. Doors open at 7, and they will be there doing their show from 8 o'clock. And they're in from Montreal, drove all the way from Montreal. And we want to make sure they're welcome back in the township, because Sue is originally from the townships, and Bill is originally from Montreal, moved to Toronto. That's not his fault. And then eventually came back here.
Okay.
Just a little sporting joke there.
Oh, listen. I know the joke.
He's heard it before.
I bet. One of those, you know.
Right.
So tell us about Red Shoes, the next cut we're going to hear. Who wants to go first?
Well, Bill does a good intro to this song, so.
So you
well,
intro
it's,
Bill.
it's a personal song. It's a song written by a woman who actually grew up right around the corner from this very radio studio.
Excuse me, written about a woman, not by.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I said. Okay, yeah. Excuse me.
Well, erase that from the tapes.
Yeah, thank you. It was written about Sue's mom, who, in fact, as I was saying, she actually grew up about two blocks from here.
Oh, you see, wow, this is interesting.
Right here in Lennoxville.
A Little Forks. Okay, yeah. This is very interesting.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a story about a young girl's dream. And what a young girl might have experienced and seen during the Depression years right here in Lennoxville.
Well, that's a very interesting song, and I'm glad to be playing on the CGMQ. I want to thank you. I know you have to leave very shortly. We're going to play this song.
Thank you.
If you have time after, you can stay around. And I will play another cut from your album as well, because I know you have to leave and prep for this show.
Yes.
Thank you very much for being here.
It was great
thank
to
you.
Meet you, Dave.
And
thank you so
well,
much.
Well, thank you very
us.
Much for coming by. It's really a pleasure to have people come into our studio and, you know.
It's our pleasure.
From the townships in Montreal. So here is Red Shoes on the Super Q 88.9, taking all the way to the top of the hour.
Strong, the youngest child, she had her dreams. She grew up long before her years. Family ties were strong. And when she'd hear the music play, she danced the whole night long. To hear the trains roll in, they made a mournful sound. And on the trains, the weary men who rode from town to town in search of food and work, they came. She fed them at the door. Winter months were long and hard. They never asked for small, her spirit rare. she says I must go on. She could just go back again. She'd wear red shoes. She could stand up tall like you. That's what she would do. Just what she